The best in regional sports from Southeast Michigan. WLEN HD2 W243 AD. Adrian 96.5 The Cave.
96.5 The Cave. Lenawee County Sports.
Hey, Bulldogs fans, it's time for the AC All Access Show, brought to you by Adrian College and Frickers of Adrian, where we unlock the doors to the heart of Adrian College athletics, including live interviews from Adrian College coaches and players.
Welcome to another edition of the AC All Access Show on this Thursday morning. Morning. Afternoon.
Live from Southern California.
Ian Wentz here at Frickers. At least I know that. Some great specials daily. They're still featuring their personal pitchers. 48 ounces for $6.99. Frickin' Street Tacos, $9.99. Give those a try. I have. They're very good. I'm more of the lunch special guy. So from open till 2 o'clock, they give some great $6.99 frickin' lunch combos. They are hiring at Frickers as well, so stop on by and grab an application. Today, busy list here. We are going to talk some men's volleyball, men's tennis, some rowing. But first, we're going to talk some women's rugby. We have the head coach of the rugby team at Adrian College, Mike Bowen. Welcome back.
Thank you kindly. I've been counting the days down until I could make an appearance.
Sure. Yeah, you were just down in Florida, so you were thankful to come back to cold weather. Cloudy skies. You were sick of the sunshine and fun times, right?
Who needs it?
let's talk about that Florida trip. You have six games under your belt, and you were in a tournament. Could you talk to the listeners about that?
Yeah, certainly. So we competed in the Tropical Sevens International Rugby Tournament down in Tampa, Florida. So it's an annual tournament inviting teams from the Caribbean Islands, Canada, all across the U.S. So we got to enter a side into that competition and test ourselves against some of the best in, North America.
And, that's what you want to do is schedule teams that, stateside you might see in the postseason, or just to really give yourself a good measuring stick. It's like the Big Ten football team. Well, why would you schedule opponent A? You're not really going to learn a lot about your team. So you kind of took the approach of let's go on a trip.
Yeah. Throw them right to the wolves. That's how you learn in rugby.
I know the program's relatively young, but is this a normal thing for this program to take long trips out of state?
We're hoping to make it more common. For our 15th season in the fall, this past year we traveled to Harvard and played in our conference championship match there. In the future, I'd like to, in the springtime, take a sevens tour, maybe down the Tropical Sevens, hopefully get an invite to Nationals in the future, which kind of bounces around. So the touring part of rugby is a big part of our culture.
All right, let's get our listeners up to speed about the sport of rugby and about you and your path to Adrian College. And you're obviously, you have some playing experience on the, they don't call it a pitch, do they? They just call
it's
it the
pitch.
Field.
It's nope, a pitch. It's a pitch. You got it right.
So I doubted myself. Yeah.
Yeah, spot on.
Could you talk about your path to Adrian College?
Yeah, sure. So I have a pretty common rugby story here in America. I found it in high school. I got dragged out to a practice by a buddy of mine and got my nose broken day one.
Okay.
And fell
initiation,
in love.
Initiation, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So just kind of the classic first rugby story. And from there, I fell in love. Started watching, playing as much as I could. After I graduated high school, I actually went back and I coached that team for about 5 years. And then I just, continued my coaching journey at the college I attended, at Penn State University. Right around the pandemic, I was hired as an assistant coach at American International College, which is a NIRA or NCAA Rugby Division II program. Spent about 2.5 years with them. We won the D2 championship in fall of 21. So a lot of great experience there, but I'd always wanted to see if I could help build something from the ground up. And I thought that Adrian would give me a really good opportunity to do so. And I'm happy to say, 2 years of my career here, it's exactly what I thought it would be.
So you saw the opening and I kind of said, hey, let's bring this world traveler to Southern Michigan and see what we can do, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you know, it's a beautiful location here. It reminds me a lot of my hometown. Not as many farmlands. It's more forest outside of the town where I'm from.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Adrian is a really good place to focus on your academics and to focus on your athletics without too many extra distractions. So if that's what's important to you, this is a really, really good place to study and to train and to just have a great experience.
When it comes to recruiting rugby athletes and specifically women's rugby athletes, I don't know the high school landscape. Is it like hockey where there might be a co-op or a junior team, or do recruit strictly high school? I also have heard that some ladies cross over and they'll play rugby as a second sport at the school.
Yeah, so it's really a combination. Sometimes we'll go to local Michigan, Indiana, or Ohio teams. We actually have incoming commits from Montana and California, Colorado for next fall. On the current team, we've got players from Texas, Idaho, you know, Tennessee, as well as a player from Fiji. And then we have several players that have lived their entire lives in Adrian, Michigan. So two of our walk-ons, one's a sophomore and one is a freshman as of, you know, 6 months ago, excuse me, 6 weeks ago, she started playing rugby. So this is just the type of game where, you know, you meet a rugby player and tend to be a lot of fun. So then you get to know a little bit about the sport, and then you see your first tackle and you're like, oh, wait, I want to try that.
All right. I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm not going to get the roster as quickly as you just explaining. You said there are two women from Adrian, the city. Who are they, just for our listeners locally?
Yeah, absolutely. So one is the apparently very famous Maddie McDonald, who went to Madison High School. She's a sophomore here. Was initially on our cornhole team and then got dragged out to a rugby practice by one of our upperclassmen and has just... This is where she was meant to be for most of her life, I think. She is already playing for the All-State team, the Collegiate U23 Michigan All-State team. She got to fly down to Texas last summer to play for an All-Star travel team in a big tournament, so she's been kicking butt. And our other player is Annie McDade, who also attended Madison High School. She's a freshman this year. Multi-sport athlete growing up, but you know, didn't really have a sport here at Adrian her first semester. So she got to know a couple of the rugby players, and then she watched Maddie play, and was like, "Hey, I want to give that a shot." And yeah, she's been with us for about 6 weeks, and has just jumped right in.
Well, that's great. I mean, just sounds like athletes, and then they're like, "Well, I'm kind of lost. I have sports that I like, and it's." Madison doesn't have rugby, so it's a new experience, and like you said, you could fall in love with it late.
You know? Yes, you can, and it's you can succeed at it starting pretty late as well. On the U.S. national team, about half of the current roster didn't start playing until college, and then three or four of them actually didn't start playing rugby until after they graduated college.
Coach, the season, correct me if I'm wrong, is split up between the fall and the spring. You play, is it 11s in the fall and 7s in the spring?
Close, yeah. So we play 15-on-15 in the fall.
15s, okay.
Yep, 15s in the fall, and then we'll play 7v7 in the spring.
All right, is that the same roster? And you have two teams when there's 7s, or you just have a deep bench in the spring?
Yeah, so it is the same roster for us right now. Usually we'll roll with a deeper bench in the spring. So right now, you know, we've got about 16 to 17 athletes that are, you know, healthy and focused on rugby this spring. So traveling to different tournaments, if it's like a very official tournament, you can bring a total of 12. And if it's a more loose or social tournament, then we're able to get everybody playing time and experience.
Talking with Coach Mike Bowen with the women's rugby team at Adrian College. So looking at my little cheat sheet here, you play schools like Dartmouth, Army, Harvard, Coastal Carolina, Florida State, Virginia Tech, Michigan, and Purdue. What's the reason behind that? What's the makeup, I guess, nationally for, I mean, it's not Division III rugby. What league are you in?
Yeah, so this is something that's actually changing in the future. So last season we competed as a NIRA Division III program against other NCAA D3 schools, but we've made the decision to jump up to what is known as National Collegiate Rugby's Division I.
Wow.
So essentially in the fall we're going to be playing in the Big Ten. It'll be us, Michigan, Michigan State, Purdue, Notre Dame, and Indiana University.
So these are like the NCAA teams, right? It's not like quote-unquote club rugby?
So those Big Ten teams are club teams. They've been around for a couple decades each.
Okay.
They're mostly run off of alumni donations and support.
Okay.
So that's going to be our regular season. And then in National Collegiate Rugby at a wider level, it's made up of those larger state school club programs and then some schools more similar to us. So smaller schools, some Division III, some Division, one and two, but all backed by the athletic department of the school. And what I've noticed in my coaching career is that's what makes the most difference is the amount of support you get from the school, from the athletic department, the coaching staff. Rugby's a sport where you can learn it very quickly, and if you dedicate a lot of time to it, you can get good very quickly.
So did you just feel that, after a short time being a program, Adrian fits into that category that you mentioned before with those Big Ten schools and didn't really fit in with D3 or
that's part of it. I think the competition level on average is going to be higher for us next fall, but I would also say that the teams we played in division in the fall, the closest one was a 12-hour drive away. That would be Norwich University in Vermont. We played Bowdoin College from Maine, University of New England from Maine.
Okay.
So NIRA or the NCAA Division III is very widespread right now. So part of it was I thought we could take the step up in competition, but the other part was that it's a little bit closer.
Yeah, I'd say a lot of it closer. Michigan, Michigan State, keep it in the state somewhat. All right, so this weekend it says the team is competing in a tournament hosted by, not far away, University of Michigan. It seems like a common thing for rugby to do tournaments and get a lot of teams in one location and get a lot of games in. What's the makeup of that tournament?
Yeah, sure. So Spring Sevens is all tournament-based. At the tournament we're competing in, it's going to be us, Virginia Tech, Davenport, Purdue, Notre Dame, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, Michigan State, and somebody else. Apologies.
Oh, that's okay.
But yeah. So it'll be mostly, the Big Ten schools and some other schools from Michigan. And then Virginia Tech always likes to travel up here for that tournament to get a good run in before national starts.
All right. I guess that would be the next question is, you said the spring is tournament based. Mm-hmm. There is a postseason, and there will be a Spring Sevens national champion?
So there is. There are actually two different pathways to nationals for Sevens. One is invitational only. There are several different divisions, some like D1, D2, D3 club programs, as well as a premier bracket, which is made up of varsity-only teams. So the way you can get to that, there are a couple qualifying tournaments all across the country, and this weekend is actually one of them. And the other way is to get invited to that tournament.
All right, so you would have to win or place or top three, or do you get points like a like NASCAR where you get points and you
it is sometimes, okay. Yeah. So the way it's going to work for us, because right now we're still considered part of NIRA's Division III, we're not going to be competing at nationals.
Oh, okay.
So so when we win this tournament this weekend, the runner-up will get it.
Okay. All right. I love that attitude. That's a good one to have.
You got to put it out there and visualize it to make it happen. Sometimes.
Exactly. No, and there's no reason to think you wouldn't be in the fall runner-up in that NIRA D3 tournament in the fall. But in the more, the weekend after this weekend, you will be playing at Davenport University. Then you're going to host a home tournament on April 21st. Is this the team's first, or how many of these have we hosted?
So we've hosted, I think, across the program's three-year history, three or four sevens tournaments hosted at Adrian. This will be my second one, so we hosted a tournament last year at the end of the season, and we're doing the same thing this year to kind of, end the season off at home, give everybody a good experience, let everybody's families come watch us play some of the better teams in the Midwest.
It's something I think is important for the listeners to know. They're probably visualizing rugby at Dokken Stadium, and carpet burn and pebble burn. But do you guys play on that field or do you play across the road?
We play on that field.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, turf burn is not that bad.
It's part of it. You know, you're wearing some protection.
You know, if it's smaller than both your hands put together, it's not that bad.
but isn't the rugby room in that, I say newer, it's not newer at this point.
Yeah,
building
so there's
across
that,
the 223?
Yep, so there's that rugby building across 223. So that is going to be the future site of a stadium for rugby with locker rooms and things like that.
Okay.
But, yeah, I know construction hasn't started on that yet.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Wow. All right, so just to line everything up this weekend, heck, Bulldog fans could go up to U of M, check it out, watch Adrian play, and quite a bit of other teams that you'll know the name across the front of their jersey. And the weekend after that, you're at Davenport, and then your home tournament on April 21st. Coach, it's good to talk to you about some women's rugby, and it sounds like a successful time in Florida. Let's keep it going up here in the Midwest.
That's the plan. All right, thanks for your time.
Yeah, no problem. Once again, that was Mike Bowen with the women's rugby team at Adrian College. We are going to take a quick break. We're going to head to rowing. Coach Lucy Roy is waiting in the wings. She's ready to go. Last time we talked to her, she was interim, and here she is. All right, we'll be right back. This is Inside the Cave, the AC All Access Show at Frickers and Adrian, 96.5 The Cave, 965thecave.com.
And join in the fun during this week's events.
Whether you're in the mood for baseball, softball, women's lacrosse, women's rugby, or men's volleyball, Adrian College has it all on campus this weekend.
For a full list of Adrian College athletic teams and their schedules, rosters, and more, visit adrianbulldogs.com. When you're looking for enjoyable events for the whole family, make great memories with Adrian College Athletics.
Everyday values are at only one place, Frickers. Monday, boneless frickin' chicken wings. Tuesday, traditional frickin' chicken wings. Wednesday is all about that steak. Thursday, frickin' chicken chunks. Frickers, where kids 10 and under eat free every day. Remember, draft beer specials, everyday values, and kids eat free every day. The home for money-saving value is the home for fun, food, sports, and spirits, Frickers.
This show here at Frickers in Adrian. Jeff Bowman is back in our cave studios today. I'm Ian Wentz here at Frickers. Things starting to pick up on a Thursday afternoon. Looks like the Tigers game is on. I know people were hoping to watch that. Here you go. Food, fun, sports, and spirits, like they say. At Frickers, we go from rugby to rowing. We have Lucy Roy, the head coach. No interim tag, the men's and women's rowing program. First, congratulations on that. Last time we talked, it was interim.
Yes, thank you. It was very exciting.
And the work just began, right?
Oh, yeah.
After that, you're in charge of both squads, the men's and women's. They compete in the spring. Both of them do. Is that correct?
Correct, yep.
All right. What's your schedule like? Do you get to go across the country and row boats in Florida and California and Europe?
Well, so our conference is a Mid-Atlantic Rowing Conference, so a lot of our races are going to be on the East Coast. We're going to be in New Jersey, I think, three times this season, so heading out to the East Coast a lot. But we do have a home race this weekend, so that'll be fun. It'll be more local, get the parents a chance to watch their kids in action, so yeah.
Do you have like a spring break trip that the team takes?
Yeah, so we went to Oak Ridge, Tennessee this spring break for a week, and it was a lot of fun. We do that every year, so it's a really good experience. They get tons and tons, hundreds of thousands of meters logged on that trip, and it's always really, really good to get the technical stuff down so that we can start working on speed once we get into the rest of the season.
All right, you started the season with a scrimmage hosted by Marietta. Where is that? I'm at a loss. Where is that?
Marietta's in southern Ohio, pretty close to the border of Kentucky. So
okay, how'd that go?
West Virginia, more. It went really well. The men's team, our top end is really, really strong. So our eight did fall to Marietta, but our four, which is the top four guys on the team, they ended up beating Marietta, both their 1v and their 2v4. And Marietta competes up at the D1 level, so they have different training rules. They do 156 days. We only do 114 per NCAA rules. So, you know, getting ahead of a team like that is always a really, really good start to the season. So we're really, really optimistic about our four, and that's definitely going to be the main event this weekend.
All right, you threw out some rowing lingo. No, that's okay, just the numbers. How many are in a, not going to call it a boat, how many are in the...
Boat's fine.
Boat's fine?
Yeah, boat's fine.
And how many different things are there with the different boats?
So you can do an eight, you can do a four, you can do a two-man boat, or you can do a single. And the four, the...
Canoeing? One person? Or the, kayak?
The four, the two-man boat, and the single, they can be either sweep rowing, which is you just have one oar, or they can be sculling, which is when you have two. When you're in a single, you always have two, because otherwise you'd basically just be canoeing. But, yeah, that's how those boats work. But we typically race more of the sweep boats, so the eight and the coxed four, which is when you have a guy steering the boat as well, or a girl steering the boat.
All right, the team makeup, how many are on the women's side and on the men's side?
We're a little bit smaller of a team than a lot of the teams that we compete against. We have 11 rowers on the men's team and 10 on the women's team. It's historically been the smallest women's team in our conference, but now we are the third smallest, so we're starting to get up there in numbers. I know 10 isn't a lot, but... we are no longer the smallest team in the conference, so that's a win.
Well,
I'll take it.
Nice job, coach. Yeah, that's what you tell Craig. Hey, I'm getting numbers up. We're getting there. We got the coach in place, facilities, and all that good stuff. You obviously do all your practicing out at the boathouse on Devil's Lake up on 223 out there. I guess you've been coaching out for a little bit. From when you became the interim to now, has it been, obviously it's been a very good experience, but I'm sure there's a lot more on your plate. How's that been?
It's been fine. I mean, I think the transition was honestly not very difficult because we'd had a season under our belts at that point, and I'd already kind of gotten used to doing it on my own and figuring out, you know, what that looked like. And I think the spring has gone a lot more seamlessly than the fall did because I had already been presented with all the challenges that, you know, I would need to face in order to learn. And so I feel really confident going into the spring in my coaching ability. Obviously, it would be great to have some help, but I'm not, you know, it's not.
Wink, wink.
No. Yeah. No, I mean, we do have a volunteer who's awesome, and he comes down a couple of times a week to help out. But, you know, I'm very happy. I've, you know, figured out different practice times and stuff like that to make everyone have equal amounts of time on the water and all that good stuff. So
The season is split between the fall and spring, or they're like two separate seasons?
It's two separate seasons. We do different types of racing in the fall, so the fall is going to be longer racing, time trials, and then the spring is going to be shorter racing or head-to-head with the boats, and that's always the more exciting race to watch. The fall is like longer stuff. You think of the fall as the cross-country season where you're running longer races, and then the spring is more of the track season when you're running the shorter sprints and stuff like that. So in the spring, we'll do 2,000-meter races and go, you know, head-to-head with people, six lanes across, in some cases seven lanes across, and just, you know, see who's the fastest. So it's two separate seasons, and then the winter we have off where we just kind of the team does conditioning, and, yeah, we just get ready, get our cardio fitness up for the spring.
Recruiting for rowing has to be somewhat challenging, and maybe some travel or FaceTime calls or phone calls with student athletes, because I don't know about the high school rowing scene in Michigan. What's the makeup of your team? Are they mostly out of state, East Coast, West Coast? What kind of student athletes compete?
We have a good mixture. I mean, we have kids who are from Michigan. We have kids who are from East Coast. One of our men's team's captains is from Peru. So, you know, we have kids from all over. Recruiting's always interesting, especially on the women's side. You know, we're competing with those D1 schools who can give out some nice scholarships to our girls. So that's obviously a little bit challenging. But it's just finding the kids who actually, you know, want to row because they love rowing, and they don't want to row because they're getting paid for it. They want to row because they want to be there, and because they also want to be focused on academics. That's also really important, is just having that academically minded student athlete who can balance both really well, and that's usually the kids that we'll get at D3. But I think D3 is a great option because they can be on a competitive team and be on that actually, you know, wants to win and wants to go fast, but they also have the time to focus on school and to be a college kid and stuff like that. So that's why I think D3 is a fantastic option, and those are the kids we'll get. It's just the kids who want to be there because they love rowing, not because they're getting paid for it.
Do you get student athletes that have rowing in their background, or maybe some that are like, we didn't have a rowing team in high school, but I'm interested? Do you get that kind of athlete too?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So the women's team is about half and half right now, with the varsity girls who have been rowing. But I think only two of the girls that we have, or three of the girls that we have on our team at this point, rowed in high school. And so we teach a lot. Like the first couple of weeks of the fall season is always dedicated to teaching people how to row, and then we can get them into boats. And we see some people who it's a really natural thing, and then we see other people who it is not a natural thing, and we gotta work on the movements a little bit more. But we always get them up to speed, and that's also why training camp's really great, because we have a ton of uninterrupted time where we're not rushing because we have a race or something like that. We can get all the drilling in that we need to. So yeah, we get a good mixture of both.
Talking AC rowing with Lucy Roy. Hard not to say Lucy Rowe. Maybe you get called that behind your back. But let's see. Head of the Charles, I think people in the rowing community know that. It took place in the fall. The largest event in the country. Did you have the interim tag then?
Still did, yep. Yeah. I got the full-time coaching role at the end of the season. So, yeah, Head of the Charles was good. I think our men's team performed slightly better the weekend before Head of the Charles, when they went head-to-head with Marietta. And that was the first time we'd ever beaten Marietta, was in the fall. So that was really exciting, and we were all excited. But I think, I don't know, the conditions at the Charles were a little bit crazy. So we didn't quite get that victory over Marietta again at Head of the Charles, but we did get the fastest time in our conference, so that was still good. It was still positive, but I think it definitely lit a fire under some people, like, no, we're not as good as we think we are, we gotta go, you know. And that was kind of a good thing to do prior to the winter season, because I think it lit a fire under some people and made them want to go faster. So
are you ready for an out of the box question?
Sure.
Okay, lean in, everyone in your car, lean in. On race day, how do you coach rowing?
Oh.
You can't call a timeout. You're not there. Are you standing on shore? Are you in a speedboat nearby? Are you swimming alongside the boat? I don't know. How do you coach it on race day?
Yeah, so it depends. Like,
she didn't laugh at that joke, by the way. Didn't think it was funny.
I hope I can't swim as fast as they're rowing. Otherwise, we've done something terribly wrong. On race day, we honestly do a lot of I talk to them before the race, and then it's really in the coxswain's hands. The coxswain kind of becomes a mini coach, and that's the person who steers the boat. They're usually much smaller in stature, so they're not adding too much weight because they're not actually contributing to the speed, but they're keeping the boat straight. They're calling moves and all that stuff. So they all have the race plan. It's why we do practice so much, because we just need to practice the race plan, practice the different segments of the race plan, the start, the sprint, the middle move, all that stuff, and kind of visualizing like what's going to happen and how we're going to respond and stuff like that. Because I can't coach. Like, even if I'm umpiring a race like I will be this weekend where I'm, you know, trailing behind in a launch. It's not like I can be like, hey, get your blade in, or, you know, like, you know, I can't do anything like that from the launch when they're racing. It's just, it's in their hands. So it's
kind of. You can't fire
off
a text.
No.
Okay. Hold to the left.
Yeah, no. Unless they're veering out of the course, then I can. But regardless of that, no, it's pretty much just, it's in their hands. And I just have to hope that at that point we've done what we need to do to prepare. And then if not, then we've got some work to do for the following race.
Coach, I know the national championships and those races are the big ones, but maybe second on the list is getting to host races, and you're going to do that this Sunday up at Devil's Lake. So if you're listening in Lenawee County, make the drive up there and, you know, maybe spectate some Bulldog rowing. What teams do you know are coming up here or down here?
Yeah, so we've got Milwaukee School of Engineering, who is one of the teams in our conference. We have their men's and women's teams coming. MSU's club team is coming, both men's and women's. And then we also have Marietta's women's team coming, but their men's team is not. They're in San Diego right now doing some D1 racing. So we're hosting our own conference crews and getting some racing experience on our home water before one of our bigger races next weekend in New Jersey.
All right, so this Sunday at home, you just said next week out east.
Yes, yep.
All right. Well, best of luck. Thanks for talking. Congrats on the promotion again, and, have fun on Sunday.
Thank you. Will do. Hope to see everyone.
That's right. Once again, Lucy Roy, the rowing coach for the women's teams, Adrian College. We're going to take a quick break. We'll hear from Adrian College and from Frickers and Adrian. We're going to talk some tennis with their sophomore from Holland. Tell you who that is. Talk about some Bulldog tennis when we come back. It's the ACL Access Show here on a Thursday afternoon at Frickers on 96.5 The Cave, 96.5thecave.com.
Adrian College invites you to cheer for the Bulldogs and join in the fun during this week's events.
Whether you're in the mood for baseball, softball, women's lacrosse, women's rugby, or men's volleyball, Adrian College has it all on campus this weekend.
For a full list of Adrian College athletic teams and their schedules, rosters, and more, visit adrianbulldogs.com. When you're looking for enjoyable events for the whole family, make great memories with Adrian College Athletics.
Everyday values are at only one place, Frickers. Monday, boneless frickin' chicken wings. Tuesday, traditional frickin' chicken wings. Wednesday is all about that steak. Thursday, frickin' chicken chunks. Frickers, where kids 10 and under eat free every day. Remember, draft beer specials, everyday values, and kids eat free every day. The home for money-saving value is the home for fun, food, sports, and spirits, Frickers.
Ian Wentz on location. We already have a couple of interviews in the books, women's rugby and rowing. All recorded. You can listen to it later on our Cave Clips on 965thecave.com. Go to Cave Clips, and the ACL Access Show will be right there for you. All right, if you were listening to the show this morning, there was a report from Adrian College Tennis, both the men's and women's sides. Difficult conference opponent as they were out west. We'll get to that in a second. We are talking with a sophomore from Holland, Michigan. What brought him over here, I wonder? There's a couple of my AA schools over there. Sean Ruff joins me. Sean, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I have to start with that. Hope has tennis, I assume. Calvin's out there. So what brought you to Adrian?
Yeah, I guess around my senior year of high school, I didn't really think I was going to be playing tennis in college. Wasn't really a thought process of mine. And then probably around the winter, the old coach here, Coach Elbin, reached out to my high school coach, then related to me about possibly being brought on to Adrian, taking the visit. So I went through the whole recruiting process there, and I just enjoyed the school itself. And then I came to see a match, and that was enjoyable. I got to see the guys play, saw some good things that I liked. And then on just the hope side, I didn't really want to live close to home. I had, like, grown up in Holland my whole life. I went to Holland public schools all through, like, kindergarten to high school. So kind of wanted to get away from home a little bit, mm-hmm. but still close enough where I could, like, have my family there, come see a match along those
sure.
lines.
Makes perfect sense to me. Just the sophomore this season in singles, you're the number three single, so it's just two ahead of you. You know, basic math, we got that figured out. 6-7 on the season. Hang on here. I got your record all over the place. I guess just how's your season been going? Just fresh into conference play, right?
Yeah, we started down on our spring break. We went down to Florida and played some matches down there. So that's always a good time. And then, yeah, getting into conference play, just trying to ramp up and play the best we can and hopefully win some matches and make some noise in conference this year.
Do you, on the men's side, are there doubles and singles?
Yeah.
Okay, you do both?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, there's six single spots and then three double spots. So this year I've played the two or three double spot and then anywhere from, yeah, like three to five singles.
What got you into tennis? Is it, you know, the stereotypical, I've been doing it since I was three and, you know, you just worked your way up through, or what got you into the sport?
Well, actually, in middle school, I wanted to, it was then the spring season, so I wanted to play a sport. Like, all my friends were playing a sport that season, but a lot of my friends were running track, and I was just not interested in running track. It didn't seem yeah. very enjoyable to me. So then my one other option was tennis along with it. So I was like, I like sports with, like, hand-eye coordination, like ping pong as a kid. So I was like, might as well just try out tennis. And then throughout middle school, high school, I just really learned to like it a lot, and then here we are.
Yeah, and here we are. Talking with Sean Ruff with the men's tennis team at AC. Maybe you don't know this right now, or I've been impressed with the amount of people who know exactly what they're going to do, what they're studying. But you're a sophomore, so things are relatively new. What are you studying at AC?
Yeah, I'm studying business management. So when I, like, my dad and sister are in that, like, exact same field, so kind of just following in that footpath and hopefully get into there once I graduate.
All right. See, you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You came in with a plan. I like that. Playing singles versus doubles, it's a totally different approach. How can you manage that in an afternoon of, you know, competing? How do you I guess the difference between doubles and singles, aside from an extra person, is the strategy between you and your teammate. Like, all right, you like to be on the right side of the court, he likes to be on the left, or how does that go?
Yeah, strategy is definitely different between doubles and singles. And then, yeah, you kind of, between your partner, you choose, like, the two sides. You have add and do. So if one's backhand stronger, then you kind of shift to that side. But it's also, I think, a big part between doubles and singles is it's a big, like, mentality shift, too. Like, with doubles, you can balance off of your partner very well. And then it's also a little more, like, energetic between singles, like, especially in college tennis, energy is a big thing. So, and then singles, you kind of try to just, like, focus down a little more and not get too high, not get too low, kind of just, like, stay the course of the match and hopefully end up winning.
Is there, I'm gonna half answer this for you just in case your coach is listening. You like doing both, doubles and singles, but is there one that you feel more comfortable doing?
I'd say, well, in high school, I played singles mostly. So then carrying out into college, definitely, like, freshman year, I felt more comfortable in singles. But I think as I've, like, played more and got more experience, I tend to, like doubles a little more or feel more comfortable there. And then also just, you kind of just touched on it, but having a partner with you is a good thing to be able to balance emotions back and forth and have someone to, like, you trust along with you.
Oh, yeah, maybe you're not having a day, but your doubles partner is. You could still pull out a win.
Yeah, exactly. You know? And then you have someone to, you can pick them up, they can pick you up. It's just it's a good thing.
Sean, how many guys are on your team this year? Roughly.
Around, like, I think 10 to 12.
Okay. And you do how many doubles matches per event? Do you, are there three doubles matches? Is that how the scoring goes?
Yeah, three doubles matches and then six singles.
That was a great guess, wasn't it, Stacy?
Great guess.
Yeah, great guess. The team this year, 6-10 in conference, 0-2. You got a couple of tough ones out of the way with Hope and Calvin. You have Kalamazoo coming up this weekend. That is, again, on the road, correct?
Yeah.
You know, what's conference matches now that you're a sophomore? All right, I've seen this team before, right, as a freshman. And maybe last year it could be, you know, like, whoa, I'm playing college tennis. You know, maybe not intimidating, but you have to sit back and think, oh, here we are, this is happening. But now this year, maybe you've seen those other your opponents before from last year. You're familiar with the other team and like, oh, I remember what they did to us last year. We got, you know, we can use that and translate it. Has that happened for you a little bit this season?
Yeah, I think so. I think especially like coming into college tennis, you maybe question like, can I like hang with these guys? Or just, it's just a different level. Mm-hmm. So then, but like after you like see them once or you play them, you know your opponents, you're like, oh, like I can hang with these guys. Even if like the match doesn't quite go your way, you know, like any given day you have a shot. So I think that's definitely like a confidence boost going into a couple more big matches we have here.
So it's Kalamazoo this weekend, and then you are home next April 20th against Albion. In tennis, on the men's side, I know they're all rivals in their own way, but is there a school in particular that the team really gets up for? Is it Albion, or was it Hope, or are they all equal?
I wouldn't say they're all equal. I think as a team overall, we definitely have a lot of energy and like bring a lot of pride in our matches. But I'd say Trine's a big one that we always put on our schedule. That's one we want to win. Mm-hmm. And then me personally, it didn't quite go that way.
I was going to say Hope.
Being from Holland, Hope's always one I think about and would like to like to get one of these years, hopefully.
Exactly. How'd you do individually? I know the team lost, but you have some wins under your belt. Have they been spread around, or did you have a really good day against Calvin or Hope?
In Florida, our matches down there, I had a pretty good showing, doubles-wise and singles, played some good matches. But, conference-wise, again, like, even if the match didn't go away, like Calvin, Hope, we're definitely out there battling. So,
These spring sports get to go down to Florida, Tennessee, down south. That's a cool experience. That can be a good, obviously, team bonding. An opportunity with the travel and hotels and things like that. Is the men's tennis team at Adrian a younger team? Are there a lot of sophomores and freshmen, or are there more upperclassmen?
Yeah, overall, I'd say we're a younger team. I think we're only graduating two guys this year, and then we got a couple of freshmen, sophomores that are like inside the lineup. So overall, I'd say a younger team.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, that can certainly be a factor in conference play or in just any matches. You have that much more practice under your belt, that much more competition when you're a junior and a senior. You know, the freshman and sophomore year, if you win, that's great, but it's a lot about, you know, freshman year learning how to play college tennis. And then maybe sophomore year, hey, got a couple wins here and there. I'm a bigger part of the team. And then junior, senior year, win, right? And get the job done. And, you know, you've said you want to obviously get some wins this year, and there's opportunities on the calendar. Kalamazoo this weekend, is that a Saturday match, I assume?
Yeah, Saturday at 1, I believe.
All right, 1 o'clock. And then Bulldogs are at home April 20th against Albion. The Britons come to town. Well, Sean, I appreciate the time talking to me. Sounds like a pretty good year. Let's make it better. There's some opportunities on the calendar. So thanks again for doing this.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me.
That was Sean Ruff with the men's tennis team at Adrian College, just the sophomore from Holland. Check the scores on adrianbulldogs.com or download the Adrian College app as they're in Kalamazoo this weekend. And you can watch the Bulldogs in action April 20th against Albion. Tennis courts are behind the football field and in front of the baseball field, if you want to look at it that way. Take that driveway past the Marilette. But There you go. We will be back to finish up the ACL Access show. We're going to talk some men's volleyball with the assistant coach coming up next here at Frickers in Adrian on 96.5 The Cave, 96.5thecave.com.
Adrian College invites you to cheer for the Bulldogs and join in the fun during this week's events.
Whether you're in the mood for baseball, softball, women's lacrosse, women's rugby, or men's volleyball, Adrian College has it all on campus this weekend.
For a full list of Adrian College athletic teams and their schedules, rosters, and more, visit adrianbulldogs.com. When you're looking for enjoyable events for the whole family, make great memories with Adrian College Athletics.
Everyday values are at only one place, Frickers. Monday, boneless frickin' chicken wings. Tuesday, traditional frickin' chicken wings. Wednesday is all about that steak. Thursday, frickin' chicken chunks. Frickers, where kids 10 and under eat free every day. Remember, draft beer specials, everyday values, and kids eat free every day. The home for money-saving value is the home for fun, food, sports, and spirits, Frickers.
Every Thursday afternoon from 2 to 3 right here at Frickers in Adrian with Jeff Bowman back in our cave studios. I'm Ian Wendt. Glad you're hanging out with us on a Thursday. We're going to talk some men's volleyball with the assistant coach of the men's volleyball squad in his first year, Matt Schifferl, joining us on the air. Thanks for doing this. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
All right, let's learn. Well, we'll get to your team in a second. We need to lay the foundation. What's your volleyball background, and then what got you here to Adrian?
Yeah, so I've been playing volleyball probably a little longer than most men's volleyball players have been. I think most men up in high school or something. I've been playing since I was in, like, fifth grade. So did a little park district volleyball, and then I got into, like, club volleyball when I went in high school. I was here in Michigan, they don't have a lot of high school volleyball. In Chicago, where I'm from, they have a lot of high school volleyball. So I was on the men's volleyball team in high school. Had a pretty good career then, and then I got picked up. I went to Augustana College. They actually started their program, so like when I was a freshman there, it was all freshmen. So we started the program there. It was really cool to do that. And then afterwards, out of college, I got my degree in English. I didn't really know what I wanted to do with that necessarily. And so, like, a year after, I saw the application, and I saw that Jose, the head coach, was also from Chicago. I think I, like, recognized his name from somewhere, and I was like, I'm just going to apply for this. I want volleyball right back in my life, and
Here
I am. It all worked out.
I mean, Chicago area is doable if you have family in the area.
Yeah.
It's, you know, a quick 4 hours or so to get to Chicago.
Bad.
And, well, yeah, and, it, you know, being from that area gave you, as you said, the opportunity to play younger and here in Lenawee County, Adrian High School has just recently started a boys volleyball team.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And
that's awesome.
Yeah. But for you, recruiting has to be a little different. You probably put a lot of miles in that recruiting car or make a lot of phone calls to some kids.
Yeah. I mean, we, like, right now we even have two kids from Hawaii on the team. So, like, and we're still, we just committed another kid from Hawaii. We're not going out to Hawaii because that would be quite a bill for us. I wish, but other than that, we've gone like all over the Midwest. We played our first couple of games in California this season. So we recruited out in California. I'm sure everyone knows that like volleyball is crazy in California. So that was awesome. But yeah, we're trying to get guys from wherever we possibly can. If we can get guys from Michigan, that'd be awesome. Cause you know, we love a homegrown athlete, but We try to get them from wherever we can because men's volleyball is very spread out in the country. So
I was going to say, I mean, you have the Chicago area, probably the L.A. area.
Yep.
I'm going to assume because population, New York has a pretty good.
Yeah, East Coast is pretty solid for men's volleyball. So
what's the draw to bring them to a small Midwest town?
It's growing. And if you want to start a story, if you want to start you know, if you want to be that men's volleyball team in Michigan that breaks the top 15 for the first time or anything like that, then that's why you should come here if you want to start something great. And I think that's why it's growing so much, is because so many people are wanting to show, like, yeah, I'm from this little small town, but like I'm just as good as you guys, you know. So sure. I love to see it. Yeah.
So far pretty good on the season. You have an overall winning record. You're 14 and 12, 2-5 in we need to explain a lot of this to listeners about the conferences. These different teams are in. It's not all MIAA.
Right. Yeah.
What's the conference you guys play in?
It's the MCVL, so it's the Midwest Collegiate Volleyball League. We have most of the schools are kind of around our area, like Indiana, Ohio, Michigan, but it also ranges all the way from like Fontbonne is in our conference, and they're like in St. Louis. So it ranges a pretty big amount, and that's just because, like I said, men's volleyball is still growing, so we can't have it. I think I forgot how many schools in the MIAA have it, but as soon as we get to like whatever, six schools in the MIAA, then we can have that conference. But for now, we've been in the MCBL for as long as Adrian has had men's volleyball.
Is it growing fast enough where you could see the MIAA getting it here at some point?
Definitely. I mean, I hope, like, I know a couple of schools, just like Kalamazoo doesn't have it. Calvin just, this is their first year, so Calvin just had it. So, yeah, there's schools that I'm sure are in the talks of adding men's volleyball because it's a growing market, growing sport. So I could see within the next maybe five or something years the MIAA start to talk about it. I really hope they do, that's for sure.
Matt, I'm going to read a disappointing sentence. Mike Prang wrote it. I'm just going to read it. The team is eliminated from postseason play. What has a postseason looked like? What's the makeup to get to where this team ultimately wants to go? How do you get that done?
Yeah, so obviously our goal at the beginning of the season was to make the conference tournament. That's the only way to get into the national tournament for us, basically, is winning our conference tournament. So that was always the goal. It's a little disappointing once we, you know, right now we're 2-5 in conference, so that just kind of puts us out of the tournament, and that was really hard for us. I mean, we got a lot of seniors that for 4 years they've been trying to make that tournament. So for now, we got two matches left. We're just trying to – our goal for the rest of the season is just to win out, go 2-0. We've never beaten Fontbonne, or at least the seniors right now have never gotten the chance to beat Fontbonne, and we have Fontbonne coming up. So we're just keeping our goals simple and trying to win out for the rest of the season. And then, obviously, beyond that, we have a lot of young guys on the team, so we're looking into the future a little bit and trying to improve on it next year.
Hey,
so.
Play spoiler. You know, ruin someone's seating or that.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, I know it's very disappointing for you guys and the team, but
there's always something to work on, though. Like,
there is.
There's a goal. So.
And you could play within yourself, but maybe play loose, like there's no pressure of, hey, we need to win this to get to the spot. So there's definitely motivation. Final weekend of the season, Friday and Saturday, both matches. Hey, you're home.
Yep.
So, hey, there's some opportunities.
Yeah.
To play in the gym you practice in.
Yeah, exactly.
7 o'clock tomorrow night, Fontbonne. Apparently I've been pronouncing that wrong. I appreciate you saying that. And Wabash, I know how to say that. They're coming into town Saturday, 1 o'clock. I'm going to assume one of those might be senior day, or did you have that already?
Yep, senior Saturday. Saturday, 1 p.m. against Wabash. Yeah, that's our senior day. So.
Well, it's packed to Maryland. If people are sick of this weather and they want to be inside, you know.
It'll be warm in there, especially if we have a bunch of people. So.
Absolutely. So 7 on Friday and then 1 o'clock on Saturday. I'm going to read these stats, and then you can tell me if they're good or not.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good.
Team averages 10.9 kills per set, 10.1 assists per set, and 9.8 digs per set. Now, a set is 21.
25.
Yep.
Dang it. Close.
That's cornhole, right? It's 21.
Yeah, I think a lot of, like, rec leagues do 21 for some reason for volleyball.
Sorry, it's 25.
No, you're good.
And then is the fifth set 15?
Correct, yes.
All right, I made up for it.
Yeah,
So are those numbers where you and Coach thought they'd be?
Definitely. We've always been offensively efficient. Like, I mean, sometimes, obviously, not every single game, but I think overall we have, like, really efficient pins. We've been working on our middle connection more and more throughout the season, but offensively, we've never really had a worry. Like, we have some offensive weapons for sure. So those are good numbers, 10 kills, not bad for a set. defense is what we've been working on for our whole season. And 9.8 is actually improving from what we were at, like, whatever, 10 games ago or something like that. So defense, 9.8, not bad, but we want to get that above 10 for sure. We're trying to up the digs.
Yeah. All right, so defense in volleyball, is that just when you receive a serve, or is it any time the ball comes your way,
so
they consider that defense?
So if it technically we split up serve-receive, so if you're receiving a serve, that's not defense technically.
Okay.
Defense is only when they're hitting at us and we're trying to get that ball up.
Okay.
So I think that does confuse a lot of people. But, yeah, so any serve that's coming in, even if they're serving it, like, whatever, 60 miles per hour, and these guys are like, it looks like they're playing defense, but it's still technically a pass, not a dig. So
it's like the kickoff.
Yes, yeah. It's like the start of the play. And then defense is, whenever they're hitting at you. So we're trying to get, like, one or two more digs each set, basically.
So if you can turn the defense quickly into offense.
Yep.
You're just waiting for...
We just got to create opportunities.
We
just got to create more opportunities for us, for ourselves. So,
talking with the assistant coach of the men's volleyball team, Matt Schifferl, from the Chicago area, talking here on the Cave. We have some players of note. We have Chase Hoyer, leads the team in kills. Andrew Garish with 5-4. I'm going to assume that's assists. And Jacob Rembulat?
Yep.
Did I get that right?
Rembulat, yeah.
Okay. He's got an international team, so, I mean, who knows how you pronounce these names. Diggs with 223. Are those some of the upperclassmen you've been talking about?
Yep, definitely. Those are three of our biggest leaders, I would say, both on and off the court. So it's going to be sad to see those three guys go for sure. Drew is just like our quarterback, basically. He's our setter, so he's – always talking to our hitters, always, you know, encouraging everybody else. Drew's awesome. Chase is just like a crazy offensive weapon. This guy has like a 40-inch vertical. Like, he's awesome. So he's kind of our go-to guy. And then Rem is the guy that's just cleaning everything up in the back row. He's awesome at what he does too. So,
when we talk about the conference, and you said really the only way Adrian could get a postseason bid typically is to win the league, because is that because there are only obviously a certain number allocated to the postseason tournament? Are there at-large opportunities? And, you know, the chances of us getting one are very slim.
Yeah, so there are, I think there's only two at-large bids given for the whole country.
Wow.
So, like, those teams that are getting the at-large bids are, like, basically
ranked.
they're undefeated. Like, they're independent teams sometimes that need to get an at-large bid in order to make the tournament. So it is just – it's a result of, again, the game's still growing. There's so little opportunities for you to get in there. So in order for you to get into there, you need to be, like, very, very – almost perfect, especially if you're picking up those at-large bids. You need to be, like, pretty much undefeated, so –
Is the league we play in, is the reputation nationwide good?
I mean, so the MCVL, I actually played in the MCVL when I was the first 2 years in college, and then my school, Augustana, transitioned to the CCIW. So I played in there when Carthage was in there, and Carthage is like a nationally renowned team. So like it's kind of had its ups and downs. Right now, I think since they lost those teams, like Carthage, Dominican University, another great program from like the Chicago area, they were in the MCVL. And so since those teams aren't in there, I think a lot of people in the country look down on the MCVL a little bit now. Mm-hmm. But from what I am seeing, every single team that we're playing, it's tough. And so it's, you know, maybe like people from the East Coast will be like, oh,
there's always a bias.
Yeah, we get to play an MCVL team. This will be easy, but it's not going to be easy. It's not. We played Mount Union, Baldwin Wallace. I mean, every single team in the conference has been tough for us. There hasn't been one easy game. So,
all right. Once again, the Bulldogs are hosting Fontbonne Friday night 7,
yep.
And then Saturday at 1 against Wabash. They'll be at the Marilat. 1 o'clock Saturday is the senior day for the men's volleyball squad. Well, Coach, thanks for your time. It was good to learn about you and about the team. Tough end to it, but something to build on for next year.
For sure, yeah. Thank you for having me, man.
Yeah, no problem. Once more, that was the men's volleyball assistant coach, Matt Schifferl, right here on the ACL Access Show. We're going to finish up this program here at Frickers in Adrian. Be sure to check out their daily specials, their weekday specials, their lunches, their lunch combos. Just a great place to be right on Main Street in Adrian. For Jeff Bowman back in the studio, I'm Ian Wentz saying so long and good afternoon. This has been the ACL Access Show, 96.5 The Cave, 96.5thecave.com.
That's a wrap for today's episode of AC All Access. We hope you enjoyed this exclusive look behind the scenes of Adrian College Athletics. Join us next Thursday at Frickers and Adrian. Check out upcoming Adrian College events at adrianbulldogs.com.